Welcome once again to Addictions Recovery, Done God's Way. Glad you're here tonight. And we're going to continue our look at the book, Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave. And for you to understand the title, A Banquet in the Grave, you've got to understand the scripture that the author was basing this on. It comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. And here it is showing a woman. This woman's name is folly or foolishness or sinfulness. But as she's described here in Proverbs chapter 9, she's trying to entice people, entice men to come in. She promises them a good time. They can forget their worries, come in, just have a good time. Just like drugs entice us to come on in. There's a banquet waiting. Listen to what it says. The woman, folly, she is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who would pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, stolen waters are sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. You see, she's enticing those to come in, the ones that don't have much sense, the ones who are not thinking clearly, the ones who maybe are distracted from life because of problems and troubles, and they're wanting to seek an escape. Well, she says, this is the place. Come on in. We got a banquet waiting for you. But see, she doesn't tell you the whole story. That banquet is being held at the bottom of a grave. And there's a lot of heartache. A lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of problems that is inflicted not only on the young man or the young woman as far as that's concerned, but their whole family, the ones who love them the most. Well, we want to continue in this third week in our study of this book. We want to look tonight at a word about addictions. As we begin, remember that we're moving into a realm in which people can easily talk past each other when they're talking about addictions. Sin, disease, spirituality, God, and many other seemingly common words can have many different definitions, making dialogue especially difficult. This means that definitions and clarity with language are essential. The first word to consider is the word addiction itself. In the popular use today, addiction has become a very elastic an ambiguous category that contains everything from the frivolous, like a person saying, I'm addicted to the 6 o'clock news, to the grave, which is very serious, addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs. It also includes the unequally yoked categories of disease and sin. Given its ambiguities, there's a growing sentiment that we need a different word. Yet since there is no agreement on new terms, I will continue to use the term addiction, though I will use it very carefully. As used in this book, addiction will be used to describe certain experiences and behaviors. At least initially, I'll try to distinguish descriptions of behavior from explanations for behavior. We can all agree on the actual description of addiction, but we tend to have differences about the actual explanations. In common use, the word addictions tends to be one in which a description is quietly attached to a biological explanation. As the chapters of this book unfold, a biblical view of addiction will also begin to carry an explanation with it, but it will be far different from its secular counterpart. Describing addiction. What is the description of addictions? How do addicts feel? Addicts feel as if they're trapped and out of control. They feel like abject worshipers devoted to something that can be very dangerous. They feel desperate hunger and thirst for something. They feel like they can't let go, clinging even when the addictive behavior yields very few pleasures and a great deal of pain. They feel like they're in bondage. Addicts feel out of control, enslaved, stuck, and without hope for freedom or escape. Something or someone other than the living God got a hold of them and is controlling them. And the controlling object tells them how to live, think, and feel. Can you agree with that? You who are addicts, or you who are former addicts, that thing that's got a hold of you, it tells you how to live, how to think, and how to feel. For example, alcohol tells you to place your own desires above the interest of your family, above the interest of your husband or the interest of your wife or the interest of your children. Pornography and other forms of adultery will tell you that the immediate pleasures are worth it, and you probably won't get caught anyway. Gambling will tell you that you might hit it big on the next spin of the wheel, even though there's also a chance you will be broke for the rest of the month. That delicious food says to you, oh, just one more serving. You can always purge if you need to. Since we live in a culture that encourages self-indulgence, it should be no surprise that addictions are everywhere. Scripture, the Bible, emphasizes sex, food, alcohol, which is a category that could include today's modern mind-altering drugs. But all of these are categories that are common addictions, and these appetites remain the most prevalent in our society. Yet the list of potential taskmasters is always growing. Addictions was once a term used for the chronic heavy drinker, but over the past 20 years or 30 years, that word addiction, its turf has expanded dramatically. Now, the list of addictive substances and desires is limited only by our imagination, as we see here in this list. Alcohol, anger, love, weightlifting, sleep, nicotine, pain, TV, exercise, all of these are forms of addictive behavior. Gambling, nose drops, cocaine, work, sports, sugar, people, sex, caffeine, shoplifting, lying, chocolate, risk, success and winning, pornography, and on and on and on it goes. What unites these and most other activities or substances described as addictions is that they deliver a bodily experience. Yes, every one of those things we just read delivers a bodily experience. With them, we feel more alert, more calm, less shy, or more powerful. Furthermore, most addictions change our physical experience, and they do it quickly. working within seconds or minutes, rather than having to wait days or weeks. As a result, people are rarely addicted to vitamins, which take months of steady use to produce measurable changes, but they will be addicted to the rapid onset of the bodily feeling associated with Valium, alcohol, sex, or even pain. Some people criticize the widening scope of addictions, claiming that when a category expands too much, then it loses its meaning. But when God's Word anticipates the way a term is being applied to more and more behaviors, the thing that drives addictions can be found in every human heart. For example, we've all had the experience with illicit desires or unruly desires that don't take no for an answer. They keep on and they keep on lusting and desiring. If we're afraid to admit those things, we can take our cue from the Apostle Paul when he said, "I have a desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do." That's Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Indeed, we find the addiction experience is the human experience. You see, all of us have some part of addiction. Sin is addictive. Just think about all that can control our mind, our thoughts, our heart's desires, and even our bodily passions. The broader view of addictions is important because it challenges us to examine what drives addictions instead of focusing on the particular drug of choice. What is it about our humanness that leaves us susceptible to being overtaken by certain desires? Why do alcoholics, drug addicts, compulsive shoppers, secret indulgers in pornography, why do they crave things that are wrong or unwise? Why do we inordinately desire things that in themselves might be legitimate? Things like money, approval from others, comfort. All these things might be legitimate, but then they can become too important to us. Why do we have a hard time saying no to our desires? Since the answers to these questions strike at the core of our humanness, the biblical teachings are relevant to us all. And I thank the Lord that His Word, the truth of God's holy Word, it speaks to these issues.